o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Yeah, welcome everybody. No MG tonight. He and Liam are off on a week's break. Coming in off the interchange bench is me. That's Maroon. And, of course, this bloke, James Jammer Graham. Jimmy Graham, welcome back for another one. You've obviously passed muster, mate. You're back for day two.
Yeah, exactly. I've such a busy schedule as well. Had to move a few things around to fit this in.
Right.
You know, everyone's busy in lockdown. So, yeah, escape the homeschool and to be here. So delighted, mate, to get the invitation back.
Well, mate, I've got more important things to do than you because what I have to do through the day is wait at home for my wife's parcels. God help me if a parcel comes and I am not there to answer the door.
Mate, that's what I've noticed as well. All the parcels that we get delivered, when you're home, you notice it a bit more and you're
yeah.
like, when you're away, you don't see it. So as I'm curious to know, has this been going on this whole time?
Well,
all
I know,
these deliveries coming in?
All I know is at our place, it's usually wine. That's what I have noticed. But look, we've got a big show coming up today, mate. I'm glad you came back. You're going to do your power rankings, the players that could use a little bit of a love tap on the bum, a little bit of a cattle prod, a little bit of a kick in the bum. Who are those players? 1 to 5. We'll get to that shortly. MG and Liam off for the week. Maroon and James Graham filling in, and it's time for this.
What's cracking?
First of all, I just want to thank everyone for coming, especially the boys. Now, one thing about playing professional sport is you play for your mates and you don't want to let each other down. So to see all you boys here today, I really appreciate that. I started off my journey in rugby league as a small boy from Whakatane, chasing a dream. And I'll leave this game as a grown man who learned a lot of life lessons and I think turned into a pretty good person. 19 seasons in the NRL is double the length of my life that I've been able to live, so it's been a long time for me.
Yeah, that's the sad day. Well, day we all knew was coming, though, the retirement of the great Benji Marshall. Just shy of 350 NRL games, almost two decades at the top of the NRL, 31 games for New Zealand. He really has been, James Graham, something of a legend.
Yeah, he sure is, and that word gets used a lot when we talk about some of the great players, but Benji Marshall is an icon player. He really is. He was that step that he possesses. He was one of the first to have such a big step multiple times, and you know, he had an impact in Australia, New Zealand, people in the UK wanted to be him, and he's just an iconic player that, you know, and it was really hard to hear him talk like that because, you know, It's strange. He's had an impact on rugby league and rugby league's had an impact on him. And when you break it down, rugby league is just a made-up game with made-up rules, but it makes grown men cry at moments like this when you can't play it professionally anymore. And I think it was nice to hear Wayne Bennett be so complimentary to him. Benji, like I say, had an impact everywhere he went. And I think the idea or the move to South Sydney for the last 12 months, they might be talking about this in 10 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
Players like Blake Taff, I know they've got some other good young halfbacks as well, but they in 10 years' time, when they're interviewed, when they're the stars of the show, they'll credit Benji Marshall for having an impact on them when he came to South Sydney in 2021.
Well, we've heard Wayne Bennett say it was kind of within Benji to be a mentor, a role that became, well, that was natural to him.
Yeah, absolutely. He takes people under his wings. He can teach them about experience, how to handle big games. Someone like Blake Taff would have no doubt lent on Benji this week going into a big finals game because Benji's been there and done it before. So, yeah, and just all the little things, how to be a pro, he'll be instilling that in those young generational South players that are banging down the door for first team.
He did have some wonderful coaches in his NRL career. Obviously, two stints at the Tigers, Dragons, Broncos, finishing up with the Rabbitohs. Tim Sheens was in there, but here's what Wayne Bennett had to say about Benji.
But what a remarkable career. Makes you realise what the game's done for him and what he's done for the game. I've always gravitated towards him when I saw him first play. Said on countless occasions I would be over football, but I want to watch him play. It was so exciting. He just brought that unpredictability, which was part of his game all his career. But there was another part that I learned about him. I think I picked him in the All-Stars team initially, and I learned about what a good, great bloke he is. Always been fun to be around, but also the serious side when it comes to performance time, training time, whatever.
It's a wonderful thing for Wayne Bennett to say, I always gravitated towards him.
Yeah, he does have that presence. And another thing that, you know, talking about his on-field ability was his unpredictability. And as an opposition player, I never had the privilege to play with Benji, played against him many times. But people often ask you about, you know, who's the toughest opponent or who do you hate playing against? And they assume you're going to say someone like Sam Burgess because he's so big and so tough. But it's players like Benji who you hated playing against, who were your toughest opponents because he had the ability to embarrass you.
Yeah.
He had the ability to make you think you're going to make a tackle on him and you end up coming up tackling thin air. Mm. So that's a credit to him, just that footwork, which, you know, you just see the 80, you see him on the field and you just think, oh, it comes natural to him. But trust me, it took work. It would have taken lots and lots of work to develop that the footwork and the sidestep. It doesn't just happen. There's hours, tens of thousands of hours of dedication have gone into making that happen.
Can you remember being a young bloke yourself, Gemma? You're at home in Liverpool in the UK. You're watching, I assume you watched the 2005 grand final. You see Benji go up that left side, flicks the pass to Pat Richards. It's one of those rugby league moments where everyone knows where they were when they saw that.
I don't know if I remember watching it live, but I've certainly seen it many, many times since it happened. And it's one of those moments that will be played over and over again. Obviously, West Tigers hold it very dear to their heart. It'll get a mention pretty much every time West Tigers, you know, coach and staff get mentioned, how many years it's been since they played playoffs. Or this is what it used to be like. So, yeah, one of those moments that will live with us for a very, very long time.
Okay, 346 NRL games, 31 games for New Zealand. Not forgetting that small stint that he had in rugby, then he came back to the game he loved, and a World Cup. Some of the great coaches had him, and he was just a wonderful player to watch. And of course, he'll continue to work here at Triple M. James Graham and Maroon, we're filling in for Liam and the great MG, and it is time for this. Yeah, so how this works, it's the power rankings invented by the great MG. We give a topic. This time around, James Graham, we've given you the topic. Five things in the power rankings, and today your topic is five players who need a little teeny weeny kick up the arse. Can you think of five, James?
Yeah, so I've got five. Kick up the arse is a bit broad, so some of them maybe just need a bit of positive change. I would dress it like that. I wouldn't get them in if I was, say, a coach of them and say, you know what you need? A kick up the arse.
Right.
I would dance around it a little bit and treat it with the respect that it deserves.
Five.
Yeah, number five, I've got Will Chambers.
Will Chambers.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah, I'd hate to see last season be his last season in the NRL. I really hope he gets a club because I think it's just such a shame if people remember him for the sledging that he bought towards the back end of last season. He's actually a really quality centre. Obviously played for Queensland, Australia, done so well down at Melbourne. And I just think, yeah, it'd be such a shame for people to remember him as a sledger and not the great centre that he was.
Well, when you think about him, James, he's not the player that, you know, in the whole rugby league world that leaves a great taste in your mouth, does it? Will Chambers, he's a classic sledger and maybe goes a little bit too far at times.
Yeah, some people could look at it like that. I've enjoyed playing against and with people that weren't afraid to use the verbals and almost enter into that psychological warfare of putting someone off their game. You can see when it works. But like I say, just unfortunately for Will, he's going to be remembered for that and some unsavory moments towards the back end of his career where it was just all about the sledging rather than the performance on the field.
Four.
Yeah, so at number four, I've gone with Josh Hodgson down at Canberra. Not necessarily a kick up the backside, but just a bit of a reset. For me, Canberra play their best football when Josh is at number nine and he's pulling all the strings. Towards the start of this season, most people had Canberra in their top four, due with George Williams being in there and Josh Hodgson running the team, Jack White obviously as well. They had the injury to the young Nickel Cluckster as well, didn't help them. But for me, Canberra's season rests on Josh Hodgson being the best number nine in the competition, like he proved himself a couple of years ago. Everything's got to come off Josh. He's got to own that team. I know with Ricky Stewart, there was a bit of falling out maybe. I'm not too sure. These rumours get around, but obviously he's not the captain anymore. I think both Josh, Ricky, everybody at the club needs to put that to bed and move on and get Canberra back where they think they belong.
Well, there was talk, wasn't there, for a lot of the season that he was off to Brisbane, in which case you would have had Hodgson, Reynolds, Katoni, Staggs. Now you're getting the spine together in Brisbane, but that's not going to be the case?
It's not looking like that, no. I think with George Williams moving back to the UK, opened up a bit more salary cap space for Canberra to maybe keep Josh, whether or not that was an issue moving forward into next year, I'm not too sure. But they'll need to sign a quality seven. But for me, Canberra need Josh Hodgson playing his absolute best if they want to be a force next season.
Okay, if you've just joined us, we're looking at the power rankings. Players that just need a little bit of a cattle prod, a little bit of a kick up the bum. Time for this one.
Three.
Yeah, so at three, I've gone with Cameron Munster. Look, it seems pretty strange for me that his punishment is different from the others in terms of Brandon Smith. Obviously, it's a four-week rehabilitation and a 12-month complete alcohol abstinence or ban. I'd be really intrigued to know who's come up with that idea, whether it's been a club idea or whether it's Cameron Munster himself. I think that's really important. If it's Cameron Munster coming up with that himself, he's recognised he needs to change. But it's also important that with that change off the field, it doesn't change on the field, because for me, he's still the best number six in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And part of being the best number six in the competition is about his character, his influence on the team, on and off the field. And that is, you can see he's quite a social guy and he's a very well-liked guy. And part of that sometimes can come with alcohol. So he needs to find how he can still be that positive guy, one of the lads, bit of a larrikin, a bit of a jokester. You know, we see him laughing with Craig Bellamy. Getting a smile out of Craig Bellamy is not an easy thing to do, but Cameron Munster seems to have found the ability to do that. So it's just important for him that he doesn't lose that character that we've all come to know and love. Yes, he's made a mistake, but I think the change, it's important that it happens off the field in his personal life, but that doesn't ripple out and affect him being, you know, the having all that camaraderie within that Melbourne group.
Two.
Yeah, I've gone with West Tigers' very own Luke Brooks. Obviously, the local lad playing in the number seven, the most important position. They signed Jackson Hastings mid-season, and I think the throwaway line, whether or not it was to appease Brooks, was that he was being signed as a ball-playing lock. We will find out if that's true or not. But for me, if Tigers want to see a change in fortunes and a change in headlines, they need Luke Brooks playing well.
Okay. And of course, Oliver Gildart will be there too. There's another player from the UK Super League. Hopefully that works out for the West Tigers. But it's time for
one.
In your power rankings, James Graham, the player that needs a little cattle prod in the bum, a little kick up the bum. Who is that player?
Yeah, I've gone with Bulldogs halfback Kyle Flanagan.
Mm.
I just think when you look at the Bulldogs signings, they've got lots of quality coming in. I think these signings really take the pressure off Kyle, so he doesn't have to worry too much about the creativity aspect. Obviously, Burton coming in from Penrith is huge. He'll be a great partner and a great foil for Kyle. Matt Duffy out the back, that takes care of all the creativity, in my opinion, and Kyle can just focus on being a quality number seven, getting the ball where it needs to be, kicking well, doing all the organising. I think it will really help him, but it's a huge, huge preseason for Kyle Flanagan. There's going to be a lot of pressure. There's already a lot of pressure on Kyle when the Bulldogs haven't been going well.
Mm.
But now with these signings, with obviously a heap of new signings, almost a new forward pack, almost half a new spine, the pressure's going to be on Kyle, and he's really got to deliver. He's been in and out of the team. I think with Lewis going, the only other competition is Averillo and Wakeham. For me, Kyle Flanagan's the better of all those three. He really needs to take control, have a great off-season, and see some positive change.
Now, whether it's cross sport, same game, or same race multis, bet with Bluebet. Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookies. We love those guys at Bluebet. Now, this is some news if you're a West Tigers supporter or even a Penrith supporter. What are your thoughts on this, James Graham? Brent Reed writes that Dane Laurie has apologised to West Tigers supporters and vowed to win back their trust after being photographed celebrating Penrith's grand final win in a Panthers jersey. He says, Dane Laurie says, silly by me, silly mistake, and I'm really sorry for it. I have to say, I think, James Graham, that this is one of those things where the fan probably has more of a say than the player or the ex-player. Because if I'm a fan of the West Tigers, I'm a paid and proud member. One of my players is parading around celebrating in another team's jersey. I can't tell you how disgusting and disgraceful I think that is. I would absolutely whack the kid with a massive, massive fine. When you think about what the West Tigers have been through this year, and here's this palooka putting on the grand final jersey of another team, mate, it is nothing short of deplorable.
Oh, I wouldn't go quite as far. For me, he is a fan of Penrith. That's what it looks like. He grew up and played with a lot of those players. So he's being a fan himself, even though he is a professional player. But what he's probably not done is think enough about his own fans and probably not thought enough about, you know, the rivalry that's been built up between these two clubs over the past number of years as well. A lot of West Tigers fans would have hated, and I mean hated, seeing Penrith Panthers win there after Ivan Cleary was on the bus and then left the bus completely. Yeah. So there's a lot of dislike there. You know, I think there was some stuff in the coaches' boxes where Ivan Cleary was giving a few verbals to some West Tigers fans. So, you know, if you're a Tigers fan, yeah, you're going to be naturally disappointed and upset, but I don't think it's necessarily the need to throw the book at him. And he does seem genuinely apologetic, and he is only young, and he's just being a fan himself.
Oh, well, hang on a second. No worries then. We'll just keep asking. We'll just keep asking West Tigers fans to fork over three figures for their season tickets, buy a jumper, buy a scarf, buy a beanie, support the side when they're getting beaten 40-0 at halftime by Melbourne and South, and then this palooka, this kid on grand final day, goes and puts another team's jumper on? Yeah. You've got to be kidding.
The palooka is probably been their best player all season.
It's got, mate, that has got absolutely nothing to do with it.
No, but you don't want to upset him though, do you? You don't want to be kicking him to the curb when he's been your best player and you're shining light.
Hang on, are we on the same page here? We're talking about a West Tigers player on grand final puts another team's jumper on and celebrates with them. We are on the same page, aren't we?
Look, I understand what you're saying, but I just, yeah. If I was a Tigers player, I might be thinking something differently. Yeah. But from an outsider looking in, it's, yeah, like he's a fan. Let him do his thing. He's not hurt anyone, has he?
Well, I tell you what, Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll wait and see what happens there. But if I'm a West Tigers fan, I would be looking for, at the very least, a fine, a good five-figure fine at the very least. But look, we'll leave it there because there's plenty to get through, James Graham. Hey, cricket fans, fantastic news right across Australia with the Ashes this summer. It's confirmed, and brilliant news too for Triple M, because we will have every ball of the Ashes live on Triple M. Probably Australia's most respected cricket journalist is a bloke you all know, Robert Crash Craddock, and we're blessed today to have him on the air just to get his thoughts on the whole thing. Crash, nice to catch up with you again, old mate.
Oh, it is, and I have to say, particularly with such good news, Anthony, I mean, just there was such anguish over this decision, and when England put out a statement early this week saying they were yet to commit to the tour and would only tour if they had a decent team, there was a few knees knocking around the place, I can tell you.
Yeah, Crash, just how important was it, the fact that Australia came to England last year, and do you feel like they sort of owed Australia a favour in returning that in coming over to play the Ashes this year?
It played a part, James, but you know what the bigger part was? Joe Root. He was the man who was sort of wavering because he's got a couple of young children, and he was struggling to get his head around going back in time a year to where England was this time last year, and sort of, you know, occasional lockdowns and heavy quarantine. And they've been through all that in England. No one knows that more than you. Speaking to all your relatives, and they've come through the other side. So they're thinking, can we really go back in time? But I understand Joe's change of heart over the last 4 or 5 days he's taken the team with him. And some players were coming anyway. Stuart Broad, a single guy, he was committed. Jimmy Anderson's kids are at secondary school. They weren't coming. So he was coming. He was fine. He was ready to come. But a lot of them were wavering with Joe. And I think when they turned him around, everyone followed.
Yeah, I think, being a rugby league player, we don't tour as much as what the cricketers do. But for me, being a cricketer, that's part of the job description. You've got to know that you're going to be on the aeroplane, on the road for, 6 months a year, touring all around the world. And obviously, it comes with a lot of prestige. It's a very privileged position. But obviously, as time's gone by, family becomes more and more important in everybody's life. And just looking at it, do you have any idea how the quarantine situation is going to be for those families, and especially the ones with young children?
Yeah, I think some of them will be sent to provincial Victoria, where they'll set up a place in a sort of a resort where they're allowed out and mingling time from the hard quarantine. I think that's so important. I know one of the big deal breakers was when they said to the England team, you will be allowed out to train. You'll be based at a Gold Coast resort and you can train. And James, what I'm hearing from all the cricketers is that if you're allowed out 2 or 3 days to train, 2 or 3 hours a day to train, it changes your whole mindset. Mm. It freshens you right up. So that was a big thing. There's also a suggestion they may play a touring game at Ian Healy Oval while in hard quarantine. Now that would be interesting because, you know, there could be no complaints about that. Keeping in mind that the last test in Brisbane against India last year was played in hard quarantine. Those players were in hard quarantine and they played a test. So it is possible. So I think there was just enough leeway. But James, this is a crucial point. One of the reasons why they're not sprouting all the conditions is that they fully realise there's 10,000 Australians overseas wanting to come home. And they don't want to see anyone being looked as if they're leading a life of privilege.
Hmm. Hey, Crash, if there is a question mark over Perth, does that mean Sydney might get a second test?
Yeah, it's a good question. And there is I've got the Perth test about 1 out of 10 at the moment. I mean, if that hard border stance stays, there's no way you can go from playing a test in Sydney and then 3 days later move to Perth. So at the moment, it's minimal chance. Sydney and Canberra have been discussed as venues. Canberra, of course, held the Sri Lankan test a few years ago and did a fairly stylish job of hosting that. It's certainly up to hosting another test. So, yeah, that's the one query. You'll get to Brisbane, a pretty clean COVID state. Then you'll go to Adelaide, pretty clean. Then it gets tougher in Melbourne, but from Melbourne you can then move to Sydney. So there's 4 out of 5 pretty much resolved, but the last test is very much in the balance, guys.
Have they made anything announcement about mandatory vaccines or anything like that? This is one of the first sporting events that's going ahead with the vaccine rates and then looking like they're going to implement that into other sporting codes. But has there been any mention of that at all?
Oh, they're heavily pushing it, the double vaccine. And even for the crowds this summer, there's been no official announcement, but that's something that they're very keen to push. So it's coming, and I think there'll be good crowds at most of the venues. So it really is a movable feast at the moment. But the world which we stand in right here, right now, could have improved substantially by the time cricket moves into the trouble zone of Melbourne and Sydney at around Christmas Day.
Yeah, mate, you talk about the crowds, and one thing that I really love about the Ashes is the famous Barmy Army. Any idea how that's going to look? Are they going to put out an SOS to expats that live in Australia to get down and lead the chorus and lead the chants of the Barmy Army that we all know and love?
Well, I tell you one thing I do know, James. They're still writing songs. I've got a mate connected with the Barmy Army in England, and at the moment he's working on a Steve Smith song. So, you know, and they're going to facilitate those songs over to members in Australia. Oh, look, very few of them, I'm sure, will get in, but they'll have a sort of they have got very strong home support in Australia. There's a lot of Englishmen, as you know, you would know, hundreds of them live out here, and they add just so much to the contest. And sadly, Billy Cooper, the old trumpeter, he'll be missing, which is sad because I always love that first day at the Gabba. When you hear first test, you hear the bugle, the trumpet, yeah. And it's magnificent. They banned him for one test in Brisbane, you know. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was the worst decision ever.
Disgraceful. But hey, yeah. If they need anyone to sign up, I'm available. So if you want to send those words over, I'll give you my email address.
Do you go to Ashes test, mate? And do you sort of really, where do you sit when you go to an Ashes test? What do you do?
In the bar. That's where I sit. Now I'm all about getting on board. If we're winning, I'll be cheering from the hilltops. But if we lose, I'll go very quiet and pretend not to know anything whatsoever about cricket. So an absolute glory hunter. Shameful for me to say, but I have to admit it.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned songs. I was just listening to this morning to an all-time favourite English sports song. about Neville Neville, the father of Phil
and Gary's. Yeah. What a great name, Neville Neville. So good they named him twice.
To the tune of Rebel Rebel. They used David Bowie's song Neville Neville. Neville Neville. Neville Neville, their talent's immense. Neville Neville, they're in defence. Neville Neville, they ain't half bad. Neville Neville, the name of their dad. I just thought that's the greatest song. You know, like when you're talking just simple, subtle English humour.
Yeah.
And I've always said, James, if you haven't got an English mate who's a sports fan, you're missing out on life because it just offers so many discussion points, you know.
Matt, I could give you some great lyrics to some songs I've sang on the terraces before, but I don't think they'll be it's not past 9 o'clock just yet, so I'll keep them to myself.
Robert, it's always good to catch up with you, Crash. No doubt we'll read about it in the Courier Mail. Like I said, mate, you are the best. You are the go-to guy, and it's great to catch up with you again.
Oh, my pleasure. It's lovely to chat. And you've got me juices going for the summer, Maroon and James. Well done, guys. See you soon, hey.
Good on you, mate. Great to catch up. And as I say, you can read about it all in the Courier Mail with the great Robert Crash Craddock. But, of course, cricket season, he's everywhere because he's the man that knows it all. Now, tomorrow we will have the retired Benji Marshall on the show. That is, of course, if he picks up the phone. Right now, let's do this.
It's story time with James Graham.
Oh, I love this. James Graham, who has, of course, been there, done that in every level of rugby league, over the Super League and the NRL. We love to get a story. In fact, this is the time where I just jump up on his knee with a cup of hot cocoa and a couple of marshmallows. Righto, Gemma, what have you got for us?
Well, I hope you've got the PJs on as well, because this one might send you to sleep. So I apologise if you drift off before you get in the car on the way home.
Well, mate, I've got the PJs on, and yes, I've even got a water bottle. So don't worry about that. Nice hot water bottle.
Yeah, so this takes me back to Wayne Bennett's time coaching the English national team. Obviously, you know, Wayne is one of the best coaches that our game's ever known, but there's a bit of a funny side to him as well. He was great to have in camp, and he was all about the lads getting up to mischief and having fun and having that camaraderie between the group. And anyway, so we've got a sort of recovery day, which is held sort of middle of the week. Massages, stretches, everyone's just sort of hanging out, not really doing too much, going into the city wherever we were staying. I think we were in Birmingham in the United Kingdom at the time. And anyway, so we're in the team room, me and a couple of lads, and they start setting up for dinner time. So they're bringing out the cutlery and all the plates, and they're just setting it up. Anyway, out come the condiments. So me and one of the lads have gone, we're just sat at this table, a few are getting massages and stuff like that. We've gone, hey, do you want to get that barbecue, the Tabasco sauce? And we'll rim all these glasses. So there's a collection of glasses that we've put the Tabasco sauce on a plate and just gently rimmed the Tabasco sauce in the glasses, put them all neatly back so no one can figure it out. It's really important, your ratios. You put too much on, yeah, people are going to see it. So it's got to be in disguise, incognito for the person that's coming in. They've just got to think this is a normal glass.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is like, you know, 2 or 3 hours before we're anticipating having our dinner or even a meal. Anyway, to be honest, me and the lad that did it was Dan Sargeson, and he played a couple of games up at the Gold Coast. He kind of forgot. Like, we genuinely just
forgot that you did it.
Forgot that we did it.
Yeah.
We were waiting for someone to come in and sit down and join us and grab a glass. That was the whole plan. We were, you know, waiting to get one of our teammates, see how they reacted. Anyway, it's mine and Dan's turn to hop on the massage table. There's about 6 of us. I think during this time as well, another player we'd sort of told about it. Anyway, so because I think he came and sat with us and was like, "What are you guys laughing at?" So there's no poker face. He knew something was up, so we explained it to him. Anyway, we're on the massage table. As I say, kind of forgot about it. My face is down in the hole, and then I just hear Dan say, "Jammer, jammer." I'm like, bring my head. I'm like trying to enjoy this massage. I look across. I'm like, what? And he just nods his head and points towards the table. Anyway, Wayne Bennett is making a beeline for this table. And we're like, you know, he's, you know, in his late 60s at the time, we're thinking, I'm like, oh, should we tell him he's our coach? Like, you know, we don't want anything bad to happen.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I don't know. I was worried for the old man. Anyway, so he's got this jug of orange juice. He's poured it into his glass. And by this time, me and Dan are gone. Like, we are shaking on this massage table, like, uncontrollably. Anyway, he's gone. He's taken a sip of this orange juice and just go, oh. Anyway, pops the orange juice down. And we're like, oh, right, thinking it's over. And then he's just gone. He's grabbed another glass and then poured another orange juice from the same selection of glasses. And we are just like beside ourselves. We are tearing up. We had to explain to the masseuses like why we were laughing, because we're just losing control of our bodily functions. Anyway, he's poured this another glass of orange juice and gone again and been like, geez, this orange juice is spicy. And he's just, unbeknownst to him, obviously we've set him up. He thinks the problem's with the orange juice, not with the glasses. So he's making a complaint to one of the people at work in the hotel, like, what's up with this orange juice? And yeah, we didn't have the courage to tell him at the time. It took us up until the post tournament celebrations to explain to Wayne what we did, but he was pretty happy we told him. But yeah, honestly, we were on that massage table absolutely shaking with laughter, just because our coach is sipping on spicy orange juice.
Well, mate, when we get back on the Sportsman Tour, on the Sports Lunch Tour, you'll have to tell that story in full. And mate, it's always good to catch up with you. We will see you again tomorrow night on the Rush Hour.
Sounds good, mate. Look forward to it.
Here at Triple M.